Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, it's just over 2 weeks, would you believe, to polling in the UK general election. And the UK Prime Minister and Tory leader Rishi Sunak is warning how the future of the country is at stake amid fears his party is heading for an historic drubbing on the 4th of July. But is it all plain sailing for Labour as well? And what of Nigel Farage's Reform Party? Well, all this week, our reporter Barry Lenehan is on the road to Westminster examining the issues that matter to candidates and voters right across England. And he's with me now. Barry, where are you starting from this evening?
Yes, starting Cormac in Sunderland in the northeast of England. The city's bricks remained red in 2019, even though Boris Johnson and the Conservatives turned Labour's red wall blue. But it was on this week, 8 years ago, that Sunderland was the first to declare it wanted Brexit, over 60% voting to leave the EU here. And earlier, when I passed the Stadium of Light and into the heart of the city, I found a weariness with politics after a tumultuous few years at 10 Downing Street.
They don't look after the people, they look after themselves. They promise this and they promise that, and you know for a fact they're not gonna complete it. You know what I mean? It's a waste of time, really. Because one is bad as the other, you know. It doesn't matter who gets in. The country is in a mess, and that's it in a nutshell.
And what about since the last election, which obviously saw Boris Johnson elected Prime Minister 2019?
Look at Partygate. He tell everybody not to bother going out. And what's he doing? He's just partying, partying and partying.
Will you cast a vote?
No, I'll not cast a vote.
They're not worth the ballot paper that the name's printed on it.
Well, at the end of the day, I think I'll be voting Tory. I'll not be voting Labour. To me, they didn't come through with promises. To me, I think nah.
What about Rishi Sunak? Do you like him?
I like Richie. At least he can manage money. Labour can just throw it away, can't they? Or go into debt all the time, so I'm not bothered. I'll be voting Richie, but I think the whole of the country's gone.
I don't see really the difference between them, because you're going to have to put taxes up to get the NHS sorted out, and nobody will say that that's what they're going to do. Everybody I talk to hasn't a clue who to vote for, and some of them are saying they're not going to vote at all.
Why is that?
Because they just can't see the point that everybody's out of it for what they can get out of it, not for what they can do for the people.
And with the polls predicting a change in government, a Labour landslide, does that offer anything to you?
Not really, because I don't think when they get in, they do what they say they're going to do in the manifesto. They say all of a sudden, oh, well, the economy's crashed, so we can't do it. They just do it to get in, don't they?
8 years this week since the Brexit vote and Sunderland voting to leave.
Yep.
What has been the impact of that vote?
I voted out, you voted in, so...
I don't know, really. I'm in favour of staying. I don't think people knew exactly what the consequences were going to be. I think when it was so close, I just think that they should have had another vote later on when people knew more about it.
Here's poor, we've no shops, we've no nothing. It's desolate, really. All the money goes to Newcastle, nothing comes to Sunderland.
But I don't know if you've read stories in the papers, there's a woman took her own teeth out with pliers, so that's how bad it is. Our National Health Service is an absolute jewel, and therefore I'm voting Labour because I think it's safer in the Labour hands.
Do you think Keir Starmer would make a good Prime Minister for you?
Well, he'd be better than the mob what's in. Absolute chaos, the absolute bandits. Rishi Sunak isn't even elected. There was a choice between him and Truss, and they picked Truss, and she doubled everybody's mortgages. It's an absolute joke. It's an absolute joke. I'll be voting Labour because it's better than a Saddam Hussein or a Putin, you know.
For anybody to have any trust or any faith in what they say and what they want to, you know, they say they want to do for you because of what they've gone on with in past experiences, past years. Very difficult to put your trust in them. You just don't know who to vote for.
Personally, I think the politics of this country is a sham, and I don't follow any political party here. But I do think that this country has lost its way a long time ago. I just see societies in other places developing at different rates. Well, hope the general election can be good for all, and God bless Britannia, as you would say.
And when on the streets of Sunderland, I bumped into Auburn Langley, who hosts a political show on Sunderland local radio, and she gave me the political lie of the land.
We've always had a fairly low turnout here. It's always been around 30%. So far, I'm not hearing a lot of engagement. We've got three MPs here, and they've always been Labour. But yeah, I think there is a reform's been coming second in a lot of the council elections. I mean, Nigel Farage is a big character here in the city. If he comes and does an event, people will book out for it. He does captivate people. I think Brexit is still an issue. I think people felt let down by Labour because they wanted it here. They don't seem to be willing to engage in the conversation about whether it worked or not, though. That is another issue. I mean, I think you can see that there are the kind of things people were voting on. I think here primarily it was immigration people were upset about, and that has not gone down because obviously that's not how immigration works. I think people still think that even though they wanted Brexit and they still think it was a good idea, I just think they think the politicians got in their way over it, that the idea was still sound, but politicians flummoxed the whole plan.
Now, there you go. Mention of Brexit there, Barry, but what has been the impact of the 2016 vote, I wonder, on Sunderland?
Well, you'll recall there were widespread fears the likes of Nissan would leave Sunderland after the Brexit vote. But last year, Nissan pumped £2 billion into their Sunderland plant. And there are fears now that the city is simply too reliant on Nissan. But Sunderland, like many areas in the north of England, feels left behind, even after the British government's levelling up fund to address regional imbalances. However, the local authority, Sunderland City Council, is in itself driving an ambitious plan to revitalise the city and banish the vacant shop fronts which blight its centre, and its plan likely to be closely watched by other areas in England and by central government itself. Here's Council CEO Patrick Melia.
Around 5.5 years ago, we came up with a new Riverside Master Plan, and we were very conscious when we were looking at it that not many people lived in the city centre and there wasn't many office jobs in the city centre. So Riverside Sunderland and the whole Master Plan is about getting more people living in the city centre, more people working in the city centre. So what we'll see is a tripling of spend on retail and leisure over this next few years. We're building around 1,500 new homes in the city centre, creating office blocks that will bring up to 10,000 jobs. So a real transformation, but by bringing footfall.
What was the spark for such a widespread local government intervention here?
If local government didn't show confidence in its city, who would? It was about us using public funds to stimulate private sector investment. Nissan invested and are continuing to invest the best part of £1 billion in their current plant and are developing further expansion plans.
There were grave warnings this week, 8 years ago, when the Brexit vote came in about Nissan's future in the city, about the industry in the city as well. But what you're saying today is those grave warnings never really came to pass.
I was fortunate to go to Japan 6 years ago, talking to people in Japan, lots of concerns around the future of Nissan in the UK. We came together working with Nissan and with the people who are making the batteries to develop a means of enabling them to make their cars at a profit in Sunderland. It was a real threat and a real possibility that Nissan would have moved from the UK. But I think with the support of ourselves as Sunderland City Council, actually the support of national government, we've managed to put something together that will certainly keep Nissan here for the foreseeable future.
That's really interesting to hear. That's Council CEO Patrick Melia there. What other issues, Barry, are in voters' minds ahead of next month's vote?
Many families in Sunderland and here in the North East are struggling, Cormac. 90% of Westminster constituencies in the region have at least one in four children growing up in poverty, with parents running up debts in some instances to feed their children, and food banks are still reporting record demand. In a moment, we'll hear from the North East Child Poverty Commission, but John McCarry, originally from Belfast, is the chief executive of Newcastle Food Bank.
Quite often, and it's a cliche now, but people are having to make decisions between heating or eating. So that's a concern, and that hasn't eased off really in the last number of months. In the year up to the 31st of March, we had issued, it was 335 tonnes of food. That equated to 25,500 food parcels issued. That's increased significantly, 8% in that particular year, and the year before it was 17%. So the numbers are concerningly high. And quite often it's an unseen issue in the likes of this city, and I think many others, because people don't see up close what's happening in areas where there's very little money around. So we would like people, the new government, the policymakers, to take time to listen to what those people are saying about the hardship that they're experiencing.
My name's Amanda Bailey and I'm the director of the North East Child Poverty Commission. So we know that around one in three children across the whole of the North East are growing up in poverty. We've seen some of the steepest increases in child poverty of anywhere in the whole of the country over most of the last decade. Those figures are much higher in certain parts of the region. So, for example, Middlesbrough, Newcastle, South Tyneside. But we know that, you know, as well as around a third of children living in poverty, we also have about one fifth of children living in deep poverty and one tenth of all children living in very deep poverty. And clearly we feel that's not acceptable in what remains one of the largest economies in the world. The reasons we know the key drivers of the increase in child poverty we've seen across the whole of the country is a policy called the two-child limit, which restricts the amount of support that families can receive if they're getting universal credit. So that's whether they're in work or out of work. That's been in place since April 2017. So there's been a huge increase, particularly for families with three or more children. But we're also aware of families who are taking those terrible decisions where they are terminating wanted pregnancies because they simply can't afford to make ends meet.
And Amanda Bailey and the Commission, they've written to all party leaders here in Britain, as well as local candidates in the North East, urging them to do more to tackle child poverty and housing, a major issue as well in the North East, with a previous study identifying the region as the one with the highest proportion of homeless households across Britain. And outside Newcastle Central train station, I met a man who left Ireland for Newcastle 12 years ago, but now finds himself on the streets.
From Kilkenny, which is over in Ireland. I came over here with my partner. She passed away a year ago and I ended up homeless and the council won't house me or help me for the last year and 2 months. So I'm going back home in July, but I have no help since I'm over here. So my health has gone bad off being homeless, but the council still won't help me. They say I don't have an area connection. Even though I was with my partner for 5 years, that's no connection. You know, she was down as the tenancy of her house. You know, so once that was gone, I'm on the streets and received no help since, you know.
What are the supports like here for the homeless in Newcastle?
None. If you're an alcoholic or a drug user, everywhere they want to house you or put you is full of drinking drugs. So you're going back into temptation immediately and you're going to keep on relapsing. And there's no help. They say they don't have a housing issue with homeless, but they do. They have a massive one. Newcastle is really bad for homeless and there's just no help at all. All over the doorways, streetways, it's all the youth, all young lads and young girls. They're getting younger and younger.
Is it dangerous?
Yes. You have to sleep with one eye open and one eye closed. You're constantly walking, you're constantly tired because you can't sleep on the night time. If you don't make anything for your accommodation, you'll more or less walk the street tonight because you're afraid to go to sleep.
And what happened to your leg?
It's through sleeping rough. I get DVTs, blood clots in my legs now, and it's causing ulcers to appear on my leg, which is open wounds off sleeping rough. You know, and it still won't give me any housing or any commitment or through my wounds at all.
How do you get by day to day?
Hard. It is. It's very hard. You wake up and truthfully, you don't want to wake up into the next day because, you know, you're just going to go through hardship and suffer again.
What do you make of the election that's on next month?
Labour say they would help the homeless and what have you, but we'll see, you know, we'll see.
Well, I hope things improve for that Kilkenny man. I certainly wish him well. Parry, you'll be back on the election trail tomorrow.
Yes, I'll be talking to Claire Byrne in the morning from Grimsby and Cleethorpes, a key battleground in this election. So better get a move on, Cormac.
OK, well, the very best of luck in Grimsby. I saw the party leaders had a Q&A, a town hall Q&A in Grimsby, and they faced tough questioning. I hope you got an easier run of it there. Barry Lennon, thank you very much indeed.